before we started the meeting, Michael Radigan texted me. He's running a little bit late, but he will be here on 12 soon. Order is 1502 or 302 p.m. for the civilian types. Pledge of Allegiance. It is the Army's birthday today. Happy birthday, Army, Hua. So, as such, Mr. Burke, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
It's right into the Army. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, going into council roll call. We have council roll call.
Yes.
John Burek.
Here.
Eric Swain.
Federico.
Here.
Alex Maslin.
Here.
Robert McDonald.
I'm here.
Michael Radigan.
Yes. Vince Vargas.
And Stephanie Wayne.
Okay, so thank you. So Lieutenant Colonel Radigan contacted me. He will be here if he's running late. So we'll just go ahead and keep the meeting going. And then I think by the time we get to our action items, we'll try to get to them after he gets here, but before Bobby needs to leave his meeting. Okay, so introduction. So as you may have guessed, I'm not Stephanie Wade. I am filling in today as chair. So I'm going to say a couple of things. As I mentioned earlier, happy birthday, Army, Hua. And then it's also Flag Day today. So this day in 1777, the Second Continental Congress officially made the Stars and Stripes the official symbol of the United States and the Union. And the flag resolution reads as such, resolved that the flag of the 13 United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white and a blue field representing a new constellation. So it's Flag Day today, and I think
that please
sure
from a historical standpoint.
Sure.
This represents again Flag Day. And I, as most of you know, I did this Iron Riders piece last year for the 125th anniversary of the 25th Infantry going cross country. And Lieutenant Moss, who was the leader of that ride, is the one that did all the learning of the flag folding and did all the history and stuff on the flag from the Army back from 1897. So he's the one that did that, had the music and all that kind of stuff was laid out. There's more to it, but it was, I thought that was apropos to add someone that did this long ride in history on bicycles was the one that did all the information on flags that you can't find in the dictionary.
You cannot, or on Wikipedia, where I got the resolution. Yeah. Thank you, Bobby. We appreciate that. Okay, so in terms of my comments, I just have a couple of them, and I was going to make a joke about Lieutenant Colonel Radigan, how he has to listen to me speak and how much I like to do it, but I'm going to take this opportunity just to make a few comments from my newly appointed acting chair position for this meeting. So first is to welcome back Eric Inslee. Good to see you here. A little bit about Eric. I think Claudia, you're going to talk a little bit more about Eric, but I do want to say that, you know, he's joining us again, back at the Veterans Service Office, this time as the lead VSO. And I believe I read your bio, 8 years in the Navy, specializing in combat and underwater fire control systems, and 2 years as an anti-submarine warfare instructor. And during Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm, you earned, among other things, combat action, Driven and the NAM. So just wanted to thank you for joining us again. And like I said, we'll hear more about your appointment. But as part of you showing up here and as my newly found powers as acting chair, I want to suggest a warning order about your taking over the VSO. So as you know, in the military, we have these 90-day kind of progress report or fitness report updates, you know, where we talk to you. And I would like you to give us one, you know, at the next meeting, kind of where you see the status of the Veterans Service Office, and then what goals you have, what you think you're doing well, what you think needs improvement, and how we can help you, you know, support you in that role. So normally you get 90 days, but it'll be 60 days, I think, the next meeting, maybe, if we can approve the schedule. But since you're prior, I feel like 60 days is probably good enough. But let me know if you need more time, or let us know, I should say. But I plan to agendize. I don't know if I need to agendize that as an item, or if that just can be part of the report that the VSO gives us.
So part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that, yeah, at the previous meeting, we talked a little bit about metrics, but I think from what we've discussed as a council, we kind of like to see metrics that help us evaluate kind of the strong points and the points that need improvement in the VSO's office. So, you know, wait times, how many appointments you're seeing, any type of resources you might need, et cetera. I did a little secret shopper experience in the VSO's office, I think last week, at a sitter, and I went to get my the paperwork for my driver's license. And I'll tell you, the appointment process for me was really, really easy. I was able to go in and get an appointment, I think, the next day or the day after, and I walked in, and it was great. But while I was in there, I was talking to another gentleman who he had gotten into a union right after getting out of the military and never went through the claims process. And now that he doesn't have the insurance anymore, you know, so he was talking to me about this, and then he's like, yeah, I think there's this organization, I can just pay them, and they take 6 months of my salary, but they can submit the claim for me. And I was like, whoa. And so then I had him talk to the claims representative there, and they got him an appointment, you know, in person the next week. And so I was very happy to see that he walked away very satisfied, but it just kind of had me thinking if there was a way to have like kind of a checklist to go through and figure out, because I think there's a lot of people that just don't know what benefits are out there and don't know to ask. And the claims rep did a fantastic job helping him and getting him. He's like, don't worry, we can go through your medical records, we can help you. But just kind of, I guess, pushing more information out there. And that was a sample size of one. So I don't mean to insinuate that, you know, that it's not like that. But even for me, I grabbed one of the booklets. I was like, oh, there's a bunch of stuff in here that I didn't even know about. So
That's for the, I think that the comment, one of the other comments that I had, and this is something that I'd like to agendize for the next, so this is also kind of a warning order for the county, is I only know this because I had missed one meeting, and then we canceled one. I had to listen through the recording to try to figure out what was, what action items were passed, whether they were revised, what the votes were, what the attendance was. And the link is on the website, but I would like to see just kind of an action agenda. And I know other cities in Orange County use this, but this would just say kind of a bare bones, essentially reflect the agenda, but have like a roll call, you know, the attendance on there, and then the exact wording of what was voted on at the meeting and whether it passed or not. And then that way we could approve that for the next meeting. Because I was trying to, there was a lot of confusion. And again, because I missed a meeting when I was on maternity leave, but going through and trying to figure out, okay, what exactly was voted on with the bylaws, what was said, what wasn't said. I think that would be extremely helpful, especially if we do indeed move to making 6 or 7 meetings every year instead of every month. You know, 2 months go by, and we, you know, to try to remember that far back, at least from my perspective, is difficult. So I guess those are kind of my suggestions or warning orders for items that I, or at least the one item I intend to agendize for the next meeting. So that is probably the longest introduction that we've had in a while. But, you know, and county folks, if you have any questions about that, you know, I'll be in touch with Jenna. But please feel free to reach out to me as well. Okay, for comments, moving on to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken off agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair pre-identifies a different time at the start of the meeting for all public speakers, which we have not done. So I have one speaker request, John Warden from Life Aid. Do you like to, you've got 3 minutes.
Where should I go to do it?
You can stand there, you can sit up at the front, whatever you prefer.
Well, I don't want the new guy to have it back to me.
Thank you.
I've spoken to this board before, and I know you guys had your ad hoc. I haven't gotten any feedback from that, but we did since our last meeting, the Orange County Collaborative did do an ad hoc as well with Tom Boskamp and a group of student vets who used the Life Score tool for 30 days and then reported back to the steering committee. And after that report, the Orange County Collaborative issued a letter of support separate from that. Tom, because of the experience that he has, what he thinks about it, also wrote a letter of support. And I know he's talked to Bobby and he's talked to Ben about his experience and what he thinks of it. And then we've also received letters of support from the American League of Newport Beach, the Long Beach VA, State Senator Bob Archuleta, Jim Zenner, the director of LA County. He's the LA County Veterans Director, Dr. John Sheeran, the former Director of Mental Health for LA County, United States Air Force, United States Marine Corps, and some other community organizations here in Orange County. And we hope that today you guys will vote to also join the team. That is all.
Thank you. Just for clarification for the record, because it's not an action item, we're not going to be able to vote on it today. But I will. We will get a report from the subcommittee on that. So thank you for your comment. All right, so moving on to action items, I think I will go ahead and skip that for now, just because we're waiting for quorum. So it doesn't make to us any good to go to action items now. So moving on to executive committee report, I do not have one. Did either of you receive a report from Stephanie Wade? Okay. Let's move on to the VSO update.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Alexis, because you did a wonderful introduction of Mr. Ensley. So I want to officially welcome, I know it was a very quick and fast transition as we now transition a new VSO just this past Tuesday or last week on June 6th. Our Board of Supervisors went ahead and approved the appointment of Eric as our new Veteran Service Officer. So I believe most of you, if not all, if we did not, my apologies, did not receive some communication, but I believe we all did about the appointment. Eric is not a stranger to the VSO as he has been with us previously, but he's been very active under the Workforce Economic Development and Economic Department working on the Veterans Employment Program. So he is very much still very active with assisting veterans in our communities with claims, findings, helping them to need resources, and definitely with a focus on the employment piece and connecting them to much needed opportunities there. So now one beauty about this transition and welcoming Eric back to the VSO is that we'll be able to incorporate the Veterans Employment Program as part of still his role and being able to still connect with our community partners, with our veterans, seeking employment opportunities, or looking at helping them adjust through or get through some barriers that sometimes prevent them from seeking employment or obtaining employment, say. So we'll be able to incorporate a lot of those efforts into the VSO and still have that community connection as we also work on internally for the VSO to get back into the community, slowly start attending some events, some services. As you all mentioned, sometimes it's not just about that resources may not be there. It's just our veterans not really being aware of what it is that resources are there, what's already in place, and or sometimes maybe what VSO is able to do to them that is completely and 100% free versus, unfortunately, community resources out there or individuals that are trying to charge for a lot of these services. And we do hear they're out there. We'll definitely try our best to tackle that. As we receive those community events, sometimes we receive quite a lot of them all at once. So we don't always have the capacity to be out there and to engage, but we'll definitely work towards getting back out there as we welcome Eric back into the VSO and looking at some of our internal, our staff, our training needs and whatnot. I do hear, and it was not lost in me too, I want to acknowledge During the previous VSO time, that there was the request for like a status update on a VSO and some metrics and what we're doing, where we are, kind of our goals to where we're going. Now that I have Eric here on board, we'll definitely be working to be able to provide that for you in terms of what we would like to share and how much and where we are helping and maybe identifying some of those barriers, right? Because as you all are in your communities and you recognize a resource out there, you can definitely help and spread the word and be those advocates, those eyes and ears for us too. So as we work together, we'll definitely be working on that. I do have to say, if it's okay to share, that Eric is going to be out of the country for a month. So for the 5th of July. So I'm like bombarding him right now with all this information, but in the month of July, he will be out of the country and will be returning to us in August. So I in the next couple of weeks is just getting him acquainted back to the VSO. And then come August, it'll be all hands on deck. So I hope that it's rest. And sometime we will be definitely busy. So I wanted to have that there. In terms of our VSO, our lobby, we were working during the last meeting. There was a comment and or request for making our VSO lobbies a little bit more friendly. I had mentioned we were working on bringing in some ordering some new flags. So that is on its way. We've also put some flags up in the lobby. Slowly but surely, we are addressing our county's policy and procedures when it comes to facilities and things that can go up and whatnot. So working towards making it there. Our plaques are all there of our branches, including Space Force is up on our lobby if you haven't had a chance to step in. So glad to see that we're moving along with that piece. That is really all that I have updates for today. I was trying to see what else to give Michael a little time to get to us. But
would you like to say a few words?
I
would have offered that anyway.
Well, it's great to be back in this office. I'm super excited. I'm glad that I can actually have that part of the VSO. How are we doing? We're doing a lot of the outreach events already to colleagues that are at Los Alamitos, as well as we're going to be opening up Brea for our one stop, as well as even the Nigel, so it's going to have some attention, as opposed to me having to get to Camp Pendleton to address people that are on active duty, looking at discharge soon, and 180 days, having to meet them there. So Nigel's next post, so to speak. We're moving, I think, with that secondary team of veterans who also can clear accreditation at some point. Yes. To try and be out there, and they already had a little bit more to their toolbox, be able to expand the reach to a lot of our veterans. We're seeing them everywhere. I think the numbers that we projected with the employment side show that we can get to those veterans. We've probably seen, actually, we saw three more veterans that showed up here at the service office that I referred to them to try and triage, get employment, as well as access to those benefits. So glad to be back here. No stranger, no missed here.
Essentially, are you still serving in the role as the veterans employment? Are you wearing two hats at once now?
I've always had multiple hats. So yes.
Okay.
Usually there's two hats in this role and I'll be another. Lots of movement, lots of activities, nothing's anything. Things have really ramped up a bit because we're also in the middle of two moves of trying to coordinate, you know, how to disseminate some information, you know, so that they have access to workforce services as well. As that you mentioned, so time of veterans and military moments don't know what's actually out there. I think the expansion of what we do gives us a chance to. Is it's a chance to look at that message and coordinate a lot with our community partners that we are.
Great. And you mentioned working with the Marines at Camp Pendleton. Do you interface with the transition readiness program there? Is that how you do that, or is that through another avenue?
I do. It's because they do very similar work that we do.
Okay.
I think most of the time, my focus is on the folks that are residents of Orange County.
Sure.
Where there isn't, I answer a lot of questions for them and try and connect with those members. And part of the fear is that we're taking from the Marine Corps Manning to try and get people to make decisions to leave the service, which is completely not true. We try and make sure they have all the information to just make that career choice of their own, including maybe staying in service.
But wonderful.
Lots of stuff. That's going to slow down a bit because I won't be able to get there as much. Trying to make sure we got a service office.
And I wish you a very relaxing and fun trip, and hopefully you have some people that can help you out with some of the metrics and stuff while we're gone. But I think the intent, and other council members, you can feel free to chime in as you see fit. But I think we're, you know, for the first, we understand you're just, you know, you're back, but in a different capacity now, and some stuff might, you know, probably has changed. And so we're just looking for kind of like big overall picture, and then we can nug down some of the details, I think, in terms of, you know, what exactly precisely we would like to see and help develop it, because I think it's going to be an iterative process.
A working document, yes, for sure, in terms of the information coming forth and what you see too, and what you're hearing, including we want to know. Also, you know, working towards making our veteran, our VSO office, when I mentioned also user friendly and visitor friendly, welcoming our walk-ins and making sure that we're able to triage and see individuals when they come in, they get taken care of. I definitely appreciate and thank you for the feedback when you do your secret shopping and you visit yourself and trying to, whether you call or come in to seek services where things went wonderful and smooth. We'd love to hear that too. And then where things could be a recommendation of adjustments or whatnot, you know, all ears about that, look at opportunities to, you know, adjust or do any kind of trainings if need be to make sure that we are successful in servicing our veterans.
Great. Well, thank you. And again, welcome back. Does anyone else have anything in their comments?
Yeah, if I can. Derek mentioned the one-stop. The supervisor Foley's going to put that online sometime in early July. And she's been working on that for a couple of years now. So that will be in early July in her districts, in the fifth districts area.
So I know, is there going to be an unveiling?
Oh, hell yeah.
Guys,
okay.
Add that to the
I'll make sure. But I mean, he mentioned it. And I didn't know if everybody else in the room knew that we were putting that one stop in. And we used to have one in Irvine that shut down right before COVID or during COVID. And we went, so for individuals in Riverside, excuse me, it's San Clemente and San Juan Capistrano had to drive all the way up to Garden Grove or Rain Park or Anaheim. Or if they lost their job, they'd have to wait for the mobile unit to get around to them. So thanks to Supervisor Foley, we're getting that done.
Okay. And transportation should be a lot. I know the trolley system, especially during the summer, is connecting all this stuff.
I only thought County. That the stagecoach went from Santa Ana to Santa Clemente. Yes, for my was changed.
No. So the trolley system, you get San Clemente, Dana Point, San Juan Capistrano, Laguna Beach, they all connect. So that would be
really?
Yeah. So hopefully that increases. Yeah.
Okay.
I could go on. I really do love the trolley system, but I will digress. Okay, so thank you for the update. Since we're on a roll, let's go ahead and get the CalVet update, and then we can go back to the action items.
All right, thanks. Good to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Also, Eric, welcome back. And I just have to remember when I first started. So I've been here for 5.5 years. So when I first started, Eddie Falcon was here and Eric was here. Eric was my go-to guy on the technical details of claims and so many things. Eric's level of knowledge and detail on Veterans Benefits is absolutely remarkable. He's taught me a lot. So certainly great to have your skills here again. Really only one update, but a big update from CalVet this month. So a couple months ago, Dr. Vito Ambassiani, the secretary of CalVet, retired after 7 great years of service. He is well recognized as doing a phenomenal job in helping CalVet advance in many ways. And it took a couple months, but the governor's office appointed Lindsay Sin as the new secretary. So it's the first time a woman veteran has been secretary since Bobby, 75 or 85?
1975.
Thank you.
And she was a director there. She was
the big chief. The secretary.
Yeah.
Great. And you know, Lindsay started off at CalVet as the secretary for the Women Veterans Affairs Division, and then became secretary for communications at CalVet. And so it was definitely an intensive process. It took a couple months, but she is a wonderful leader, wonderful collaborator, and it's great to have her leading CalVet. Big job. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. And then I guess I should say for the record, Colonel Radden is here. So I believe we have quorum now. Right, so we can move back on to the action items, item 6. We have 2 action items. I'll start with the first, Orange County Veterans Advisory Council bylaws amendment. So I have 2 items here that I wanted to pass out. These were both items that were agendized and voted on and discussed previously. So we are not discussing these items per se, but they're the advisory report on kind of the scheduling issue and bylaws issues, as well as the letter, which was already voted on and accepted and will make its way to the supervisor. So I'm just passing these out in case they help. Oh yeah, thank you. Just in case you need to refresh your recollection or memory about something that was discussed previously. So, but again, we're not discussing specific documents. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So as part of your agenda packet, which was sent to you electronically, we have some, thank you, proposed. Does anyone in the, any of y'all want these? I'm going to offer them to any member of the public who wants that as well. Okay, so it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but we are voting on the additions in red for the bylaw amendments.
Correct.
Previously, the additions in blue were voted on and accepted during the April meeting, which was the essentially, I know this blue line is using the no additional cost to the county other than mileage reimbursement for county staff. That other than mileage reimbursement for county staff was previously voted on. So it looks like we are just voting on what is in red here, which so that is our action item. Does anyone also, I guess, have any of the, did you discuss this with Eric Duane? I guess my question comes from who proposed in red. I understand that Eric Duane worked with the county.
Right.
And county council has approved the language of that.
Correct. And before the April meeting, because I think we were going to discuss, no, it's a May meeting, because we were going to discuss this in May.
Okay.
And we discussed with Eric as far as the report goes to get clarifications, made the adjustments, got those approved by county council.
Okay, and that was just to kind of, as you can see from the red line, that's my understanding, is to clarify our ability to set meetings that are not every month. Okay, so no, but you can do mine. So, and these were attached to the electronic agenda. Does anyone need to take a moment and relook at these in your email? Okay, so that's the action item. The recommendation would be to approve that copy of the OCVAC bylaws amendment that was included in the agenda items. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion to approve the bylaws as presented.
Okay, and then I need a second. And we
I'll second.
A second, okay. Work. And now discussion. Is there anyone would like to make any comments regarding the bylaws amendment? Okay, great. That's a, I'll be happy, good. Okay, so without any discussion, I will go ahead and take a vote. All in favor of adopting the OCVAC bylaws amendment as presented. I get a show of hands for aye.
Don't we have to do that later?
I don't think we have to roll call vote now that we're in person, correct? Okay, so show of hands, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, passes unanimously with 5 votes. Moving on to the second item, action items, the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council ad hoc committee report on OCVAC times and meeting locations recommended essentially 2 option items, option A and option B, for adopting the schedule going forward. So option A was OCVAC to meet 7 times per year. So that would be January, March, May, June, August, October, November. Option B would be OCVAC to meet 6 times per year, February, April, June, August, October, and November. And then I think technically, so we can vote on both or either. I think this is one because we've got competing recommendations or options. Is there anything preventing us from discussing the items before someone moves to vote on one of them?
Discussing them? No.
Okay. All right. And so I just want to note, so I'll open it up for discussion, but I won't start first, but I'll also mention that there could be another option, right? We could adopt because June, August, October, November are the same for both. So if we were somehow wanted additional input, whether we hold the meetings in January, March, and May, or February and April, we could save that for another meeting. That doesn't need to be decided today, but if we wanted to go ahead and decide, we can do that as well. So I think I'd like to open this up for comments on what you guys think or what you all think.
The only comment I would have, these dates, these months work. The only comment is at some point in time, we're going to have a meeting in November where the 11th is going to be on Wednesday. Okay, next couple of years. So I'm just saying, it'll be difficult to meet on Veterans Day.
Yes.
But, you know, we don't have, we can always put a December in or take the option number A and remove November. We still have 6.
Or we could set, we can amend, you know, we could,
in advance,
we could say, well, we're going to meet on the second, or we can move the time around if we do it sufficiently in advance, I think.
Point of information.
I mean, it's always hard to have a meeting on the 11th after the Marine Corps' mm-hmm. birthday.
So. Oh,
I don't care. Anything.
I wouldn't care if we have the meeting on the 10th.
I mean, if I looked at either option, you know, I would look at option B. Partly because January is always a tough month. You know, I know at least for my business, January, particularly when we meet, is usually a conflict. So I look at January like November being a problem. So I think option B is probably our best option.
And another comment on that, I'm assuming because of the way the bylaws are written stuff. The executive committee will meet in between those times and stuff. But I've run it, and whatever the executive committee decision made, we can vote on at the next meeting. Okay.
Yeah, and we have the flexibility. We can always call special meetings sure. too if we need to for some reason, right? I think the goal of this is, you know, meeting every month, especially in person. It's almost as if meeting too often kind of stifles progress in other realms, right? Because it is a significant time commitment, regardless of what time we meet, for people to drive all over from the county and come here. So we would like time to make, I think, more meaningful impact and attend, you know, more events, and then have more to report on. My concern always is, look, you know, attendance is going to be even more imperative if we move to 6 times a year. Right? Because you miss a meeting, now all of a sudden you've got a quarter gone by and you don't know what's going on. Part of the reason that I was floating the idea of an action agenda, which will help people stay informed at least. But so, you know, the attendance is going to be, and I'm preaching to the choir because, you know,
you're
here today. But and things come up. But, you know, if we do move to 6 times a year, then our attendance, I mean, we have to all as a council get together and make sure
that we are making this a priority, which should be easier to do if it's every other month versus every month. So is there anything, Bobby, and I just asked you because, and I should ask you, Michael, as well. You mentioned for work, John, that January is a little tougher. There's any of these dates, January, because essentially everything from June forward is the same. January, March, and May versus February and April, are those busier months in terms of veterans events?
No, I mean, either one of those works. I'm leaning toward
A, just in case. So said we get an extra month just in case. Okay. So just for the reasons you stated earlier, but that we'd have to, there may be some things we have to vote on and some people are caught up in something else. That's all.
I mean, we like you said, we're flexible with the A.
We can always cancel the meeting if we have to, but I'd rather go with the 7.
Yeah.
The fact that we stay in the loop. So, again, case in point today, you know, we should really be in a meeting here. We should be out in the community, our supervisorial districts with Flag Day, you know, helping to fold a flag or whatever. I mean, this is a special day.
Yeah.
So, but I would go with, I'm leaning toward A. That's what I would. So that would cover what you were saying, the gaps that we may have. Just a thought.
It's, yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts? Because we're going to need to all probably agree on.
I mean, ultimately, the difference isn't going to be massive because of flexibility built in. We need to cancel a meeting or add a meeting by holding a special meeting. There's flexibility built in. So, yeah. I mean, on paper, it's going to say one thing, but there's due to that built-in flexibility, I think that make changes as necessary. You know, if we have something that comes up and we need an extra meeting, if something comes up and we need to cancel a meeting because everyone's going to be at an event or something like that. So I don't. You know, on paper, it'll be either A or B. I think functionally, there's not going to be a huge difference between the two with built-in flexibility.
Is there a value to having something on and planned for and canceling if needed versus trying to schedule something? It's usually harder to try to get things on the schedule, right?
I agree with that. It's probably easier to cancel rather than schedule a meeting.
Yeah.
Probably imagine the county staff. But
Yeah.
So does it seem, how does everyone feel just before we vote? Does anyone have any reservations?
I think that's a good point. It's easier to cancel.
That's actually good.
Michael, your thoughts?
I'm fine with the way it's
very cool.
Yeah. But 7 are great. You're also supposed to say that we're planning on meeting 7 times a year. So,
yeah.
Okay. And then I guess since we're in the discussion items, it sounds like the default is going to be 3 p.m. In November, though, we are supposed to be in compliance with our bylaws to go ahead and adopt the schedule also in November. So, you know, we can revisit this, I guess, if necessary. And also
the key thing here, too, is we're supposed to do elections in June for July. So the June piece is very good in both of those.
Yeah, we're in June. So I guess we'll have to hold the elections next.
Whatever. Right? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, well.
I've been down this road a couple times.
Yeah, okay. Well, so then in August, I guess that's kind of a separate thing. But
yeah, if we could set it up for it to do it.
Or we could do a special election.
Yeah, or do it in August.
Do it in August.
Because we're changing it to according to our bylaws right now anyway.
Yeah.
Because if the what we just voted on, we can pick the date, we can pick the time, and we can pick the location.
Yeah. And that's what I guess is part of the
key point there is we can pick the date, we can pick the time, and we can pick the location.
Well, and part of what I wanted to, you know, being on the subcommittee, part of what we discussed was whether we wanted to present a full-on schedule. We decided that doing this in piecemeal is more important, especially if we wanted to see whether, you know, the VSO is going to start having capability for people to Zoom in. So while we can meet here, we can have members of the public, and there might be some value allowing people to remote in. And then holding the meetings here. But, we can tackle that another day, but I think we should all be prepared to show up in November and be prepared to discuss, again, whether we want to start changing the time or whether we want to change location for future meetings. Because, again, it's great that we have flexibility, but we need to make sure that the veterans that we're serving have enough notice, especially if we're going to be moving locations and times around on them. So. It sounds like I hear most people hinting towards option A. So does anyone want to make a motion? Okay, so the motion is?
For option A.
For option A, for OCVAC to meet 7 times per year, January, March, May, June, August, October, November, effective going forward.
I second.
Okay, Dirk seconds it. So any other discussion needed? Okay, all in favor, please raise your hand. Aye. Okay, passes unanimously with 5 votes. All right, now we're moving to the committee reports. All right, so the first committee, communications standing committee, Council Member Maslin, I believe this is you.
Yeah, I don't have anything to report other than just I attended, I didn't know this was such a thing, but the start of the yachting season at the Legion Hall down in Newport Beach. So got to meet quite a few people over there, and they're actually convinced me to sign up. So be a member, I assume, shortly. So cool. That was an experience. It was fun. Like I said, I didn't know the yachting season was a thing. I don't really yacht, so now I know. But they had food and refreshments, so it was fun. And I didn't realize this, but that is either the largest or the second largest.
Second largest.
In the country. So I think that's pretty cool to have that here.
Like 3,000 or 4,000 veteran members?
I think you said over 4. Yeah.
Instead of over 7 total.
Right, with non-veterans total for 7,000.
Yeah. And they have some of the ancillary positions, I think, that some of the other locations don't have, which increases some of their, also the family.
Right.
Its sons.
And they continue to host a ton of events. I mean, weekly events for veterans. They do such a great job there. They just remodeled on the inside. So for larger events, it's beautiful. They did a really nice job.
Yeah, they're very open to the community too. I know my day job, our department has hosted several Christmas parties there and stuff like that. So they're super open to getting the rest of the community there, which I think is awesome. So,
that's great. So I'm going to put you on the spot just because, and I should know this, but I can't keep it straight. So who else is on the communications committee?
I think it's just me now.
Okay. So
I think there was someone, I can't remember who, but it's just
a little heads up. I don't want to overstep my bounds as acting chair this time, but you know, our bylaws, speaking of other things, our bylaws say is that all of us are supposed to be, you know, on a committee, subcommittee, right? And so I think, you know, I would just like for everyone here, I think there's probably some value in having a few people that can jump on ad hoc committees and do work. But Alex, I think we need someone. Could you use the support of having other people
Absolutely. On
the communications committee? Okay. Does anyone here want to volunteer to be on the committee?
I'll help Alex.
Awesome.
Thank you. All right.
Our meeting may be working.
Okay. Thank you. I think. So I can go ahead and appoint then Mr. Burke to the standing committee. In communication, do you have a mission statement or something from the overall, from the chair or the committee? Because I feel like we haven't given you guys,
I don't know what I've signed up for.
Yeah.
Okay, do this in that order because I want you to sign up before we start talking about what you need to do.
I think there's certainly a lot of lead over into the events and outreach. So I think a lot of the communication, at least officially, is done through the VSO. I mean, that gets put out by them. So I think it's more, you know, communicating through our informal channels, you know, what the board is doing. I look at it also as communicating about any events, but again, that's bleeding over into the events and outreach. There's no standing orders to answer your question.
Because it's not defined in the bylaws either as to what each committee, just says that both committees will be, and then all of us should endeavor to be on a committee. And so,
lest we decide to form another committee.
Well, sure. I mean, and that's why I said, I think like I've been on several ad hoc committees and I think there's value.
For making a stand, vote on making a standing committee for something.
Right, right. Agree. And we can kind of shift around as necessary. And I'm not sure we need, you know, 3 or 4 people on each committee. I mean, it would be about four people, all of us did it. But I'm just wondering, would you find value or want the opportunity to present to the board what you think, you know, your recommendations for what the communications committee should be? Or is that something that for the first salvo that we should give you?
Yeah, I think that would be fine to kind of pitch, you know, a framework for what it might look like. I think it could be a couple things just shoot from the hip, and that could just be a collection point for everyone. If they have something that they, you know, their local district or wherever that they get the information that they, if they want to funnel it through me or whoever's on the communication committee, and then we can kind of be that collecting point for it to then disseminate it out or communicate it in the meetings. But another, you know, what you were talking about that is, you know, everybody here in different parts of the county, you know, where there's different events going on, it seems to make sense to, for both the communications and the event outreach, almost to look at it more from a geographical standpoint and everybody having their own little area that they handle those things in and then bring it back to the council. I work in Newport Beach, I live in South County, so I know I'm definitely more the events that are going on there more than the north part of the county, just by way of where I am the majority of my day. And I imagine there's people that have the opposite, you know, geographical outlook.
It went south right after during COVID, because one of the things we used to do was to make sure that each one of the supermajority districts knew exactly what was going on in their district, and we bring it here and lay it out. So that's the main thing, because the supervisors need to know where to go on these special days. It's because they always ask. So that's something. But now we're going to go to 7 months. Maybe we need to, by in the February meeting or the January meeting, whatever the first one is, of the February meeting, whatever, to start the process of what's going on for the year. Okay, or every 6 months, what's the first thing dates are? We know we have Veterans Day, we have Memorial Day, we have, you know, all the others, and we need to be able to do that and lay out on those dates, and then all five of the birthdays, and then the new guardians thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so those kinds of things.
So maybe a blend of that, is everybody happy?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
collecting their own information or whatever they want communicated, or whatever communication they receive.
And that would be standard stuff.
Us on the communications committee can kind of be the collection point for that, put it together for a presentation to everybody.
Start with November 10th and work forward.
And I don't want it to conflict, because I know, I think the events outreach committee had gotten some guidance about, you know, like compiling a list of things. And so I don't know if it makes sense for the committees to discuss through them.
The communications, talking about all the things that are going to happen here.
Okay.
The events committee said, like, you know, who's doing what at what park on those events. And so you know the days, but in case of points, we're better for Memorial Day. Now you have one, but each one of the 34 cities had something.
Yeah.
You know, Mission Viejo, Fountain Valley, and then you have the DAV, the FW, all those different people. And it gets to be, you know, you start going to the register of things. We should be able to at least have some of those, you know, so people have an idea.
The communication, I mean, in the past, again, I'm a director of marketing, so
yeah,
I didn't think of things of internal and external.
Sure.
And we have like a public information officer that we work with the PSO. I mean, are we looking at public or just internally communicating with us, or is it external?
We used to have a Facebook page a long time ago.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, we still have that. We used to have, we still probably have a web page that needs to probably be updated, and some stuff like that we put the information on. So we have some tools that are at our convenience. But again, since COVID, that's been ramped up.
Okay. And I mean, and again, you know, we could, I understand, but for websites, but the big issue is that something handled by the county?
What we're going to have to do as a group is get that information. Then we have to, because of the way the county's run, we have to give it to somebody in our group to put it up on the website.
And there's, I think there's certain issues too with enforcement.
We need
I guess it sure jumps into my line item there. So The Veteran Services Office has a webpage already set up for events. So just need to populate it. The issue that was brought up last time by the chair was that, hey, we can't really post things because it looks like we're endorsing those particular events. So I do need some feedback on what we can and can't do. The tools are in place to put it on the website. We can reenact the social media website, or we can create a newsletter that people subscribe to and then push that information out monthly. Those are really your three quick options.
Yeah, I have a question on that for the, maybe for the county folks. In order to navigate that potential issue, if we were to, in a meeting, discuss events, not necessarily put them up on a web, on the website, which could be viewed as endorsing or events, but they were then in potential kind of what you described earlier, I equate to kind of like a meeting minutes that would be posted as, in addition to the audio of the meeting. Those events could be listed in that. It's kind of the fact.
I mean, can there just be a disclaimer by our general counsel that these events aren't endorsed by the county?
You're reading my mind. I think we should put you in touch with county council and maybe see exactly what the, because this might be concerns that are actually a big deal at all, or they might be, we can't be the first, appointed group to have navigated these waters.
Keep in mind, the workaround, we're supposed to do this here with the Veteran Service Office, so they have access. The workaround is we each have a supervisor who we report to. That information they need, they can put it in their newsletter, or they can put it, as long as it's in their area, they can sift what they need to do to go in their different areas and stuff. We just need to get it combined and give it to them.
Well, so go ahead, Claudia.
If I can add, yes, so your statement in terms of what we can endorse, or not that we can endorse anything really on our websites, the only thing that we really can share is there are any events that are led by county leadership as the Board of Supervisors or the VSO ourselves that we're in partnership with someone that. Now, in terms of your goals, let's say once you determine and figure out how you would like what the communication committee or what we would like to see, if we can decide that internally where we can provide that support is what we kind of already do, right? If you have some information of some event that you wanted to share with the council that you want for the whole group to have, you can do it in two ways. If, let's say, too much time or not enough time is going to be given to provide that during your comments and report outs during your advisory meetings, then you definitely do it internally. Our admin team here, and correct me if I'm wrong, just right, but we can send that and we can disseminate it if there's information, just FYI, event coming up that you just want to share with the team, right? Now, I think it sounds like because you're starting fresh over again after the pandemic and things have shifted so much, so with you and my team members being here present, kind of taking it back to roots to figure out how you'd like to see that internally for your advisory committee, what communications means to you, whether that's internally for you, and then how does that translate into the community? And then from there, of course, work together out how does that relate, or what can we do to support that process, right? Once you figure out how you'd like to see it. But unfortunately, because of the county policies of endorsements, those are the things that we are limited with in terms of putting it on the actual VSO website. That's the only thing that I wanted to say, just food for thought. But
so that'd be great. You know, I can come with each of the meetings with the events that I know that are coming up in the next 2 months. We can record them in minutes. As through some of the things that I found for us to internally attend, and then have other people interview.
And that's pretty good, because some of us have meetings with the supervisors, okay, and pass that on.
Well, and then this might be something too, because I see we've got about 4 minutes left, so I don't want to keep us. And I know, Bobby, you have to go, and so I don't want to get too much. But I think this, maybe we can all be prepared, you know, to discuss at the next meeting what we envision each of these, what these committee labels mean to us, what we would like to see. Because I think, you know, this idea, my idea, even bringing this up, I think at a few meetings ago was, you know, we all have different pieces of the puzzle, even things that are outside of our district. And we owe it to our supervisors, obviously, to keep them informed.
And to our veterans.
And to our veterans, more importantly, to show up, right? And we can't be everywhere at once, but it would be nice, even if we had like an internal Google Doc where we all had access and we can go and we could just say, hey, this event is happening at this time.
Like, I'm going to show up, or, hey, I noticed that you're going to be at this one. You take this one, I'll go and do this one. I think that would be helpful. So it's kind of, at a minimum, that was one of the things that I would like to see as a tool in terms of the broader subject as to what we want to each of these things to be and to deliver. I think we need to give this some thought and maybe be prepared to discuss this as an agenda item.
I think if we make it an agenda item for the next meeting, and then Don and I can come up with, you know, some proposed, you know, ideas or a vision for the committee moving forward, and then we can discuss it at the next meeting and start putting something official together.
And communicate what, you know, truly understand what our left and right limits are.
And County Council, I mean, you can, I'll send you the contact information. Right. You can reach out, because I think, you know, obviously, you know, the VSO has limitations, but, you know, what are limitations as OCBAC in communications? Exactly, for rebroadcasting information. And then, so I'm going to ask you the quick question of the standing committee. So who else is on the events and outreach?
Just me, correct.
Just you. Okay, so I'll be prepared to figure out if anyone else wants to join that. And then I believe we have one more ad hoc committee. Right, the life score.
Yeah,
I listened to the recording. I couldn't tell whose voices. I was pretty sure it was you. And I think who else was on it?
It was Steve Bart.
Okay, you and Steve.
Yeah. We took a good brief from JW and his colleague there regarding the life score app. We actually were able to download it. We did use it. The technology is interesting. We found, I think, the user experience and user integration of recording information into it was a little bit difficult. One of the things that we were concerned about, because they are asking for a $2 million grant, is that the biggest concern was is that we didn't see really any full beta tests. I know you've worked with a student organization here in Orange County. We haven't really seen, you know, any data from that in that beta. We're also concerned that we haven't really seen any broad adoption by, again, California National Guard. They haven't come online yet, either with the Department of Veteran Affairs or CalVet. I do know we just were informed that the Long Beach Veterans Long Beach VA has endorsed it. But I, at this point in time, I think we're interested in the technology. We're looking to see, interested to see it to be further developed. We welcome reports. We're interested in also seeing other counties that are willing to be able to have a resource to test it. And at this point in time, Steve and I both said that we're probably, we're recommending we're not going to endorse LifeScore app. At this time, and I did write a letter that you guys will be able to review, that council will be able to review for next meeting, and that's the summary of it.
Okay, so is that's going to be an action item?
I submitted the draft letter to Stephanie.
Okay.
And I did that a week ago, so okay. It should be ready for the next
Okay, if you don't see it on the when the draft agenda goes out, when are we sending out the draft agendas prior to meetings?
I usually send them to Stephanie about 3 weeks prior.
Okay.
Because they have to be finalized by the Friday
prior, right?
We actually need it to, because that's going to be a couple approvals, so we need it 10 days prior to the meeting date.
Do I need to resend the letter out? I mean, I sent it to Stephanie. Should I send it to somebody else also?
It would come from Stephanie to us.
So the chair sets the agenda. Is that?
Yes.
That's how things go. Okay.
So that's
all right. So when we see it, and then we all need to be diligent if we're not seeing, because we're all, again, as was pointed out, all volunteers. So if we're not seeing things in a timely manner, then we can also help chair, acting chair. So we can do that, because I know I made a couple of suggestions for agenda items, so as well. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we look forward to reading the letter. Okay. I don't think we have any other active ad hoc committees because the bylaws have been voted on today. So, Okay, council comments. At this time, members of this advisory council may comment on agenda or non-agenda items and ask questions or give directions to staff, provided that no action will be taken off agenda unless items must authorize by law. So I think I'll just go around the room. Bobby, starting with you.
I've got a point of clarification. I made a mistake earlier. In our new bylaws, they changed it, and we do our voting now in November.
Okay,
so at our November meeting, we'll do the voting instead of July, like we used to do that June or July or whatever. So because they set it up, at least in the public education, set it up so like we vote in November, but then we take over in January.
Right, but we do have a vacancy. It's I'm just blanking. Vice chair.
Well, yes, we do. However, the chair can appoint
a vice chair.
And we don't have to vote on that. Chair can make that appointment. Okay. That's point number one. Number two, I just wanted to say I had the opportunity to go to the reception that our new veterans, new veteran secretary, Lindsay Sin, had yesterday up in Sacramento. I was very, very blessed to be there with a small group of people because I've been knowing Lindsay for, once before she got started. And then the whole purpose of yesterday was the 75th anniversary of the Congress making it the Women's Integration Act so that women could be in the services, the armed services, no longer just as nurses. They could be in anything. So it was the 75th anniversary, and they had some trailblazers, and one of our past BSO leaders, Elena Kim, got one of the trailblazer awards up there. So that was pretty cool up there yesterday. So and that's why, but anyway. So anyway, I was up there for that, and that was pretty neat to be at that reception. Senator Tom Lundberg was there, and then they had some other lady veterans. One of the ladies on the Veterans Committee is a sergeant, and there was another one that was, anyway, be that as it may, they had some of the members of the Veterans Affairs Committees at both Assembly and Senate. So I got a chance to say hi to them. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Alex?
I'm interested in just if you have any data on PACDAC and the success of PACDAC claims at all. Are you seeing a lot of PACDAC claims coming through the BSO right now?
We have seen definitely some that have come back to like review appeals to kind of revisit that again for some that were denied previously. Definitely we expect to see an increase of those. So now that we have Eric here, we'll start to see about tracking and being able to look at that trend of what that looks like, because we are definitely anticipating. And the ones that have come through previously is just to kind of revisit their case and look at if they're able to now reappeal based on the view.
Are we doing any PACDAC specific outreach at all?
We have a flyer and brochure to just kind of get the word out. If you can know, like, come and visit us, connect with us. Definitely, you know what, I'll share that if we haven't already. Okay. The three, I'll give that to the team so that we can send it to the council's distribution. But we do have that in our attempts to like let our veterans know, hey, come connect with us.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pretty passionate about the PACDAC, and I'm always interested if the VSO is doing something specific. I would like to be involved in that, either in a planning or communication of it. I'm a PACDAC guy, so I'd like to be involved with that.
If I may interject here, I've got two more. We just did an event about a month ago. With the ethnic communities, with the Black Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, the Vietnamese Chamber, we had a pretty nice presentation.
Okay.
This quality was down there. It's over, getting ready to do two more in the rest of the year. So we've had three or four individuals come back so far to the VFW, looking into the PACDAC.
Right.
So I'll be glad to keep you informed and get that on the events things, because that's something that's outside. I don't know how political it is, but guess what? That doesn't make a difference. I'll get the word out. Okay. But yeah, I'll keep in the loop on that. But yes. And that's one of the things that the secretary had asked me to do, to make sure I got the PACDAC information out to all the different communities. So I'll keep you in the loop on it.
Please do.
Okay. Thank you.
In my comments at the beginning, if you missed them.
All good.
Thanks, Carrie.
Go ahead. Do you have any?
I'm all good.
Okay. All right. So that takes us to the agenda. Do we have a motion to, or any saved rounds? Yes. Saved rounds.
That's Marine talk.
That's
Marine talk. Okay.
Bobby always has a safe ground.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Go.
All in favor? Show hands. Unanimous. The meeting is adjourned at 16:07.
Yeah.